from Columbia University in 1972 with a BA in linguistics. So he was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 1973, and under his guidance, Gopi Pranandan Prabhu developed an expertise in Sanskrit. He had been a BBT Sanskrit editor and translator for 40 years almost. So after Srila Prabhupada, Gopi Pranandan Prabhu helped complete the Srimad Bhagavatam along with His Holiness Ritanand Swami Maharaj and His Grace Dravid Prabhu, and other books also like Mukund Mal Stotra, Narad Bhakti Sutra with His Holiness Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj. So since some years he had been translating Gaudiya Vaishnav literature from Sanskrit and the Bengali language, as well as training editors and translators for the BBT. He gave us many books in the English language, which were originally written by the Goswamis, like Sanatan Goswami Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrit. He lived in India with his family near Govardhan, and his major service since the last couple of years has been to train upcoming translators and editors for ISKCON's future. With this goal in mind, he had started the Govardhan Sanskrit Vidyapeeth around 3 years back. So his sudden departure is a great loss for ISKCON. So today we will have couple of devotees who had intimate association of His Grace Gopi Pranandan Prabhu will be speaking about him. So we have His Grace Nityanand Prabhu, who is a brahmachari from our temple. So he was a student of this Vidyapeeth, learning under Gopi Pranandan Prabhu for more than 3 years. So he will share his memories about his teacher and guide, and also His Grace Gaur Hari Prabhu, who's again from our congregation. So when Gaur Hari Prabhu was stationed in Delhi for about 2 years, at that time Gopi Pranandan Prabhu was visiting his home and giving regular weekly Srimad Bhagavatam lectures. So there's a close bond with them also. So we'll be having them speaking about their memories of His Grace Gopi Pranandan Prabhu. And after they are done, we'll request His Holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj to also speak about Gopi Pranandan Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnana. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I feel till ashamed to speak about such an exalted person. Just my qualification is that I was in his proximity for 2-3 years. But there are many devotees who know him very well. But nevertheless, for my purification, I will offer few words of his remembrance. So first time I met Gopi Pranandana Prabhu was in the same temple hall. That time we only know that he assisted Hridayananda Maharaj in completing the Srimad Bhagavatam, remaining cantos after Srila Prabhupada. So at that time, when he came here, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj introduced him. He said that in ISKCON we had so many Sanskrit scholars and so many scholars ISKCON has seen, but then he just pointed to Gopi Pranandana Prabhu and he said, but this one stayed. So then I saw Gopi Pranandana Prabhu immediately, as usual, yes, special gesture, he put his head like this, you know, he does like this. So I just saw him and I understood that he is a very humble person. But little bit I know that when I went to the Vidyapitam Sanskrit Srimad Bhagavad Vidyapitam, when I saw him and started interacting with him, it was a cultural shock, in the sense that a person who knows so much, who is vastly learned, being coming from Indian school college background, the professors or teachers or those who are in the school college, they treat us in a different way, you know, like regular teacher-student relationship. But here, he was a different personality altogether. In fact, the first day we went to the school, he sees us in two different ways. One, as a student who are just beginning to learn the language or the philosophy. And at the same time, he also respects the devotees as the practicing devotees who are dear to Krishna. So that is his way of dealing. And whenever we go to meet him in his room, first thing he does is he offers a seat, a chair, and he forces to sit on the chair. So these are all like small gestures, but this is like a samskara it leaves in the heart. In fact, I got instruction from my spiritual master, Radhana Swami. He said that studying Sanskrit is a very useful thing in Krishna consciousness, but at the same time you should be careful that it produces a tendency to be falsely proud. But Gopi Pranadana Prabhu is a not only a great scholar, but is a great Vaishnava as well. And serve him carefully, and he will protect you from all dangers, and he will reveal the true spirit of the service behind it. So these are the words I heard from him. And when I stayed with Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, that every lecture he gives, every instruction he gives reveals these sentences. For example, when we joined the school, in the introductory class, he speaks. And remember, the students have come there to learn Sanskrit. But the introduction for Sanskrit he gives like this. So Gopi Pranadana Prabhu says that all of you students, I'm sure that you all must have come here to learn Sanskrit. That is your goal. But please understand that I purposefully kept the name of this Vidyapitam not as Sanskrit Vidyapitam, but Srimad Bhagavat Vidyapitam. So Bhagavatam happened to be in Sanskrit language, and our acharyas happened to write the books in Sanskrit language. That's why we are interested in Sanskrit. But nevertheless, our goal of life is to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, he cuts through our misunderstandings. There is a glamour for Sanskrit. It has its own position that I know Sanskrit in India at least. There is kind of a pride comes, but he cuts now and then. In fact, he gave a radical example. He said that anything useful in Krishna consciousness we use. Just like sex life, it is nothing special about it on it itself. But if a person can produce a Krishna conscious child, it is useful. Similarly, Sanskrit, if it is used in Krishna service, then it is useful. That means a radical example is giving that if it is not used in Krishna consciousness, it is as good as, you know, some ordinary activity, mundane activity. So in this way, he gives a right direction, a right vision, that how you should mold your life, how you should go with this this opportunity you are given. He often reminds us that, see, all over this con, devotees are busy distributing books, cooking for the deities, and preaching, they are going out and preaching. But we are sitting here and spending our time and analyzing the Sanskrit verses, the verbs. So we should always keep in mind that we are given this free time and this opportunity for this. But it should not make us think that we should not have a relaxed life. So whatever you are doing now, keep it in mind that we should use it in the service of Srila Prabhupada. in Krishna consciousness mission. Not that, because there is some tendency that you can be just happy in learning something without thinking of using it in Krishna consciousness. Or without doing your sadhana, or without studying Srimad Bhagavatam also, you can just keep studying Sanskrit. So he kept on reminding us now and then that the importance of studying Sanskrit is to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, I can say when Gopi Parinathana Prabhu's love for Srimad Bhagavatam is very, it cannot be explained. He has so much attachment for Srimad Bhagavatam. Without fail, every day he would come and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam class from the students. He gives Srimad Bhagavatam class twice in a week. And other than that, every day without fail, he would come and attend the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And he would hear attentively, and many times he would ask questions also. And that is a standard he set. And in fact, when he would give Srimad Bhagavatam classes, seems like Jayadvaita Maharaj and Gopi Parinathana Prabhu had similar nature. He also gives short classes and crispy class, just to the point, 20 minutes class. And invariably, for at least I was there for 3 years, and whenever he gives class, question answer goes at least for double or triple of the time he gives class. And many times the devotee has to stop. He has to stop the question answer. Every day it goes. So, and he has a policy that when he sits in the Vyasasana, he opens the book and asks, what is the verse number today? So, he, of course, it is not a disqualification or irresponsibility, but he has a spontaneous, and he knows Bhagavatam very well. He just speaks on the spot without any preparation. And every time he gives class, he speaks in different perspectives. He has in fact, he gives Govardhan Puja class every year in Govardhan Palace near Bhaktivedanta Ashram. Some of you have seen that. And every year he gives class, the same Govardhan Puja in different perspectives. Once some of many Russian devotees came, and he gave a class, and in that class he spoke that Indra is a representative of a capitalist. And because he wanted everything to him, but Krishna is a transcendental communist. So he has even though he is a hardcore Sanskrit scholar, but he has a great deal of humor also. In fact, in the VHE, once they invited him to give a class, and they wanted to give a topic for his class. So they gave the title Srimad Bhagavatam Overview by Gopi Parinathana Prabhu. But then Gopi Parinathana Prabhu came and told that the title of the class is not Srimad Bhagavatam Overview, but the title of the class is Srimad Bhagavatam Underview. And what he did in the class was, he put the verse on the board, and he would analyze the verse and break it into different Sanskrit categories and what is a verb. And he was analyzing and giving a full detailed analysis of the verse. So many times when he gives class, I would ask him, Prabhu, can you give the overview of the whole book, or can you give us a short course on this particular book? But you tell me, I don't like to give superficial. I would like to go deep into the subjects. So that is his style of giving classes. Sometimes devotees apparently feel his classes are boring or very not entertaining. But he is a personality. He likes to go deep, and he just doesn't go by stories, examples, or analogies. But he would like to go very systematically and deep into the subject matter. In fact, the Tattva Sandarbha class he took in the Vidyapitam went for 1.5 years. And next he started Srimad Bhagavat Sandarbha, and those classes went for 2.5 years. So that's how when he takes a topic, he goes threadbare. And and hundreds and thousands of questions would be shooted, and he would answer them, all the questions. But whenever he doesn't know, he would frankly tell, this I don't know. That is his great quality. And other than this scholarship, we asked him that how did he study Sanskrit, or how did he master in these subjects. So he would always remind us that at the time when he joined ISKCON, Maharaj must be knowing more detail. He said that when he joined BBT, there are few people who are allowed to study Sanskrit. Not everybody is allowed to study Sanskrit. If anybody studies Sanskrit other than these few people, few devotees, it is considered as a deviation or a crime. They are not allowed. But Gopi Pranadana Prabhu said that he would go for book distribution, and after the book distribution is done, he would sit under the subway and he would study his Sanskrit books. So that much self-motivation he had. So he studied Sanskrit like this, and he said in the beginning he would just mark diacritic marks, like you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam verses, he would dot below certain letters, marks. So that is his service. But slowly, slowly he studied himself. Now we have a facility, we have teachers, we have arranged Vidyapitam, and every facility is given. But he has done everything by himself. That is his credit. Also his personality, he would not speak any word or any alphabet which is not necessary. Prajalpa is something which cannot be seen in his personality at all. And at the same time, he is very lenient. Just like I remember Gopi Pranadamur's personality, if you hear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, Mahaprabhu was taking a bath in Ganga, and he would do a lot of mischief activities. Once he approached the young girls, and he was teasing them, and those girls told that if you do like this, I will go and complain to your father. And Nimai would say that, oh, my father is an old man, what he will do, you know. So similar mood Gopi Pranadana proves that so many devotees would do so many mistakes, sometimes blunders, but then the complaints would go to Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. Prabhu, do you know, this devotee is doing like this. Is it so? Nobody told me. Call me. I'll deal with this matter. Let him come to me. So then this devotee would go and tell Prabhu, so I heard something like this. Yes, Prabhu, I'm sorry, but okay, no problem, you go. So the devotees already know that Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, what he will do, So he's like a uncle or like a grandfather, and the managers would tell Prabhu, you're supposed to take a strong action against this, how can you do like this? Then he would say, I can't say no to anything, So that is his personality. He would never and whenever he gives the commentary classes, he would ask the students to, he would take one word and the student is supposed to explain what is this word, what is the meaning, and so on. Sometimes the students would take long time to answer. And he would sit in the Vyasasana and wait till that devotee says, I don't know. And sometimes for other students, it's like, come on, just tell no, otherwise he is going to sit like this staring at your mouth. So he has tremendous patience to deal with the students. And he was, at the same time, he is uncompromising, but he has a very gentle heart. And whenever you ask him, Prabhuji, please tell how I can improve, he will say, what mistakes I am committing, how can I improve? And he would say, oh, I never thought that I should see any mistakes in you. So I'll keep it in mind, I'll try to find if something is there, I'll let you know. That is the standard. Even if you ask after 2 months, he will say the same thing. So he never find fault with the devotees. At the same time, when things comes to the subjects of Sanskrit or Srimad Bhagavatam, he always says that we should be thorough. There shouldn't be any compromise in our understanding or in our presentation. He set a standard for translation of the literatures, And he would always keep it in mind that Prabhupada is on a different level. He would never, in fact, when he writes commentary of his books such as Tattva Sandarbha, Laghu Bhagavatamrit, some of them are going to come very soon. And that commentary is placed, Prabhupada writes purports, but he purposefully wrote commentary, not purport. So I asked, what is the difference between commentary and purport? He said, there is no difference, but I prefer to use the word commentary because the purport is, Prabhupada wrote purport, so I don't want to put the same name purport, so let it be commentary. So he always kept in mind that Prabhupada is, even though he is doing the same thing what Prabhupada is doing, but he always reminded himself that Prabhupada is in a different level. And he also told us when he was giving few translation workshops that Prabhupada is a liberated personality and he is a kavi, he is a poet. So many times Prabhupada added his purport in the translation, and many times he did not translate everything in the verse. But he has the liberty to do that, and he is a great acharya. But he said that when we write translation or when we see things, we should be as chaste or as clear as what the verse says. So these things are a standard set by Gopi Pranandana Prabhu. And other than that, he also had many visions which he wanted to implement. He always talks few things. He says that the time will come that devotee should write commentary on Prabhupada's purports, that how Prabhupada is writing this purport. He had certain plans that we should write a commentary on Prabhupada's purport, pointing out how Prabhupada is writing these commentaries, from which acharyas Prabhupada is quoting, how Prabhupada wrote this, because there are many complaints that Prabhupada did not give everything what the previous acharya has given. So Gopi Pranandana Prabhu many times mentioned that we should write a commentary to show the world that how Prabhupada wrote the commentary based on the previous acharyas. And he also had a project that we should translate the Puranas, and the Puranas which are Tamasic Puranas and Rajasic Puranas, which are not directly dealing with the Lord Vishnu or Krishna, but there are many chapters in those Puranas dealing with the Vaishnavism, and those chapters at least they should be also be translated as separate books. And other than this, Gopi Pranandana Prabhu also is a very magnanimous personality. Generally, those who are scholars, in they are just with their books and their computer and their own world. But he was very sensitive that he always tells us that when any ladies comes to the school, he would always tell that, give them a chair to sit. And when a guest comes, he wanted to make sure that they are taking prasadam. In fact, in the school, he said that if any devotees comes for Govardhan Parikrama or Yatra, we can give them free prasadam. Unless they give donations, we may not ask. Kind of very generous personality. In fact, many times he has a family and he has many cows. So he doesn't have sufficient money for himself, but he would always speaks his realization in the class that if you are preaching Krishna consciousness, if you are dedicating your life in preaching Krishna consciousness, you will be maintained. So even though many times he was not maintained, but he would never compromise in his preaching or in his work. One time he told some of the devotees that the devotees asked him, Prabhuji, what is your favorite verse in Srimad Bhagavatam? So he said, my favorite verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is Tattenu Kampam Susimikshamanam. So he said, this verse is my favorite verse because in his life, Gopi Pranandana Prabhu has undergone a lot of difficulties. Once, in the beginning of his career, at least this is Devamrata Swami told, because Devamrata Swami was also in the BBT team. He said that many times other devotees would criticize Gopi Pranandana Prabhu because he was not a very sophisticated personality. he would not show up himself what he knows. So many times devotees would make fun of him, criticize him. But he would never spoken back against any of them. And Devamar Swami mentioned, but others had difficulties, but Gopi Purandana Prabhu, he never criticized, and he always takes anything done to him as Krishna's mercy. So he practiced this Tatenukampam Simikshamanam verse from the beginning of his career, and that became the favorite verse of his personality. All other than this, he also had his, humorous way of dealing with the devotees. One time we heard a class in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. There is a section came about Krishna's incarnations and their residences in the spiritual world. So in that chapter, episode of Gajendra comes, and the Lord appeared in front of Gajendra, and the Lord flies from the sky and comes to save Gajendra, and he takes a chakra and chops off the head of the crocodile. So now this incarnation, Laghu Bhagavatamrita mentions, the Lord came flying and he was given a name. And the devotees were asking, Prabhuji, where this incarnation is mentioned and where he resides. And the question answer went back and forth, and it was not getting resolved. Then Gopi Purandana Prabhu said, this incarnation is UFI. And what is this UFI? Just like we have unidentified flying objects, this is unidentified flying incarnations. So it was a very hardcore philosophical topic, but it just, you know. One of the last Srimad Bhagavatam class he gave few days back in Vrindavan temple. We are coming back in the vehicle traveling, and in front of our vehicle there was a vehicle going on, and the back of the vehicle there was one politician's picture. Name is Anna Hazare, somebody like that, and he had two hands like this and something written in Hindi. So Gopi Purandana read it and he turned back to me. If India is freed from corruption, how it can be India anymore? So, even though it is, he doesn't speak a lot, but he has also had a side of humor. In fact, many times we see the guest would go into Gopi Purandana Prabhu's room, and the students would discuss, let us see how many seconds this devotee will survive in his room, you know. So just, yes Prabhu, some question and answer, is it okay? That's it, there is no more other business. So he doesn't speak a single word extra. He's very, he just sits with his books and his studies. That's it. But still he had some humor also. Our temple, Vidyapitam is going on without manager for some months. Sometime it went for a year together with no managers. So Gopi Purandana would give class and he would say, see, just like our Vidyapitam has no manager, and some other it is running for months, and sometime almost 1.5 years it went like that. So he said, so I suggest the devotees that we are flying in the aeroplane without a pilot, so tighten your seat belt and sit. So we all understand, but that many times with manager itself there's a lot of problems, but here things are going on, and just because of his personality that so many problems, but just because he is there, no complaints. That is his personality just, you know, spreads around the surroundings also. So there are many things like this are there, but His Grace Jananivas Prabhu, he mentions about Gopi Purandana Prabhu. He said that seeing Gopi Purandana Prabhu's unassuming nature and his humility, utter humility, he said that this person is not an ordinary person. In general devotee's life, we can maximum, we can practice humility, we can, as a sadhakas, and we can develop it to some extent. But there are certain personalities who are born with such qualities, you know. Many times Govind Prabhu says two different categories, devotee and saint. The devotees can be a devotee by practice, but saints many times are born. So Jaraniya Swami mentioned that Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, his personality indicates that he is not a person who developed these qualities, but he is born with those qualities. So that is his credit, that his humility is not something which is sometimes we have to follow, even artificially, even if you are not, we have to show it and we have to follow it. But for him, it is a second nature for him. That is, his nature is being humble. And in fact, for many years, for many months, when he took translation workshop, he would ask questions such a way that as if he doesn't know, but he wanted the answer from the students. So many times the students really thought he doesn't know, so they would give so many answers. And after 15 minutes, they will come with the right answer, and then Gopi Pranadana, yeah, this is the right answer. But then the old student, they told that, you know, don't do this and wasting of time. He knows the answer, but he is trying to take it from you, so just tell that you don't know. So that is his personality, that many times people don't know actually that he knows so much. He really puts himself like that. I like to just read one verse. When he left his body in his room, there was a plank in which a quotation was written, and this quotation was very much befitting his personality. I just want to read it out. I don't know what is the source of this. Maybe it is from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this was there on his table. It goes like this. Do not hear from the mouth of persons lacking proper conduct. If your conduct is below par, you should not publicly preach about the Lord. Close the door and preach to yourself. Bhajan really begins when one's inside and outside are the same. So Gopi Pranadana Prabhu's inside and outside is the same always. That is a well-known fact. And for the what we heard from Gopi Pranadana Prabhu or another devotee is that for the remaining cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, Gopi Pranadana Prabhu translated the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami and Sridhar Swami. And he personally would type those manuscript and his commentaries in those years. And he would give all those commentary to His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj. And taking this commentary, Hridayananda Maharaj would write the purports. So Gopi Pranadana Prabhu did this this assistant menial service. And that's how we are getting this Srimad Bhagavatam. And for the BBT produced the remaining volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the last project of this completion of Srimad Bhagavatam is the 10th canto. They did, I think, 11th, 12th first, then the 10th canto. So, the Gopi Pranadana Prabhu wrote purport for the last 10 chapters of, if I'm not wrong, he wrote the last 10 chapters of 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. So, if you read the prayers by the personified Vedas commentaries, that is one of the sample of his scholarship, that how he himself wrote those commentaries for those 10 chapters of the last 10 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. And with personally for us it is a big loss, because just a day before he left his body, I went to meet him personally, and he was very jubilant and jolly, and he was enthusiastic, and he had many plans. He selected few of us, and he said that from October 1st he wanted to train us in translation and editing and other fields. And when I met him, he would generally give a seat to sit on in the sofa on the side. But this time when I went, he told me to sit next to him like this, you know. I was quite surprised why he's doing like this. Then of course I sat down in the floor, and he told some of his plans, how he is going to do things. And I told him, Prabhuji, I am going to Bombay, I will come back soon. He just smiled. And when the news came that he left his body, it was a great shock. But The way he left his body was as if that in front of Govardhan he is lying down, as if paying his obeisances. So it is a great loss personally for us that today we are supposed to start our class personally being trained by him. But at the same time it is good for him, as many devotees spoke in his offering, that he left his body in Govardhan and as if he is paying obeisances in front of Giriraj. I conclude with one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which practically brings out Gopi Pranadanapa's personality from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a verse from the 8th canto, 22nd chapter, 26th verse by Vamanadev. The verse says, Janma karma vayo rupa vidya ishwarya dhanadibihi yadyasya na bhavet stambaha tatra ayam madran mad anugraha. So translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, or if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a word spoken by Vamanadev. He is saying that if a person has all his opulences, but if he is not proud of his opulences, that means that you should understand that he is specially favored by me. So Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, I would tell that if you take a picture of him and paste it in this translation, that would be the translation of this verse, that he has all these opulences, good beauty, of course his education is the most prominent, but nevertheless he was humble. One devotee, Madan Mohan Prabhu, he wrote one Pranati Mantra for Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, and Gopi Pranadana Prabhu felt very shy and he said that, no, I don't need this. But just to say, Gopi Pranadana Prabhu's humility is that somebody goes and touches his feet, he says he doesn't want, but somebody forces him, he is so humble that he cannot say no to him also. That kind of a different personality altogether. He cannot say no to anybody. So when he wrote this Pranati Mantra, Gopi Pranadana Prabhu said, I don't want this. But he said, please accept this. I want to offer this to you. So he just accepted. So this Pranati Mantra goes like this. Datta Goswami Piyusham Prabhupadanu Praninam Siddhanta Dana Dharanam Suvinitam Namamitam. So Datta Goswami Piyusham, that Gopi Pranadana Prabhu is drinking the nectar of the literatures given by the Goswamis. Prabhupadanu Praninam, and his life is nothing but following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. His life is for Prabhupada. In fact, I remember last Prabhupada appearance day offering, Gopi Pranandan Prabhu said that my life is for BBT. He spoke this himself, that my whole life is for BBT. He joined practically BBT. Then he served till all throughout his life for BBT all the time. So he said that, and Gopi Pranandan Prabhu always tells that Prabhupada has given him personal instruction not to change anything in his purport. So many times when things comes about changing Prabhupada things, some of his editors, they say we can put this word like this. But he would tell them that I cannot change anything because Prabhupada has given me personal instruction not to change. But if you want to make any change, please ask His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj, because Prabhupada, they have given him authority to do such things. So he would always humbly divert those things to His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj. In fact, if in his books, in the comment section, he always says, okay, if you ask Jayadvaita Maharaj, and if he says yes, I don't mind doing this. So he has a loyalty to Prabhupada. He never changes anything. That is his great contribution. So Prabhupada Anu Praninam Siddhanta Dana Dharanam. Among those who have possessed the conclusions of Vedic scriptures, Gopi Pranandana Prabhu is well known for his utter humility. Suvinitam namamiham, namamyaham, that I offer my obeisances to Gopi Pranandana Prabhu, who is known for his utter humility among those who possess the conclusions of Vedic literatures. So, on today, I would like to beg forgiveness to him for the... We took him for granted for all this time. We could have served him much better. And I'm grateful to him for whatever he has done and hope he will bless us and to do some service for Srila Prabhupada. Srila Gopi Pranandana Prabhu ki. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Om Ajnanati Mirandasya, Jnananjana Shalakhaya, Chakshurum Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I feel very insignificant offering any words of glorification after such a beautiful offering from His Grace Nityananda Prabhu. Nevertheless, I'll try to be very brief. When we moved from Bombay to Delhi for a short period before coming back for service to Bombay, we are feeling very lost. We are not very sure what kind of association we will get in Delhi. Of course, there are many wonderful devotees, but we were just unsure. But when we moved to Delhi, we were somehow very fortunate to host Gopi Pranandana Prabhu fortnightly basis at our residence. He would come to Delhi all the way from Govardhan, give a class in the evenings, stay overnight, and give a morning Bhagavatam class at the Shri Radha Parthasarathi temple. And I heard that he would travel by bus, standing in the bus all the way. It was amazing. And he wasn't complaining. But we were very, we were feeling very bad that he should do that. So we started booking train tickets for him and very humbly accepted. I hadn't heard much of Gopi Parandan Prabhu, but from the day we started hearing his classes, I was always reminded of Jayadvait Maharaj. Very short classes, but very long question-answer sessions. I am personally very fond of asking questions. So, when he would give classes, we would not even put a threshold of 3 hours because we were just so happy asking questions and hearing from him. But his humility was such that if he didn't know a point, if he was not sure about an answer, he would just outrightly say, I'm not sure. I don't know. Very touching experience. Experiences with Gopi Parandan Prabhu were so subtle, as Nityanand Prabhu pointed out, like filling a bucket with water, with drops of water trickling in at every moment. So I'm not able to register all the beautiful pastimes, all the beautiful experiences we had. Some of them we are able to recall. Once we were taking Gopi Parandan Prabhu to Shri Radha Parthasarathi temple for morning Bhagavatam class. And as soon as we entered the temple, we were told that by mistake, another Prabhupada disciple was also requested to give the class. So I was a bit confused. I didn't know what to do. So I was asked to communicate to Gopi Parandan Prabhu that, you know, some other devotee is going to give the class. So I was scared. But I went over to him and whispered in his ear, "Prabhuji, someone else has been asked to give the class." Prabhuji said, "No problem, I'll hear." So it was so simple for him to make a transition from Vyasasan to be a listener of Srimad Bhagavatam. He used to give classes on teachings of Lord Kapildev, and that was one section of Srimad Bhagavatam which I wasn't able to really appreciate as much as other parts. But for almost 2 years, he was just talking discussing from that one section, teachings of Lord Kapildev. By the end of the discussion, I developed so much taste for that section. As Nityanand Prabhu was pointing out, he used to dissect every verse, give brief classes, but his classes were so potent. So all the devotees developed a lot of taste for this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Once Gopi Parandan Prabhu was not keeping very good health, till the last moment of his life, he used to have severe asthma attacks. And often he would tell me that Jayadwait Maharaj has asked me to meet this Ayurvedic doctor or take some other treatment. So when he would come to Delhi, we would be very busy taking him to different devotees, sometimes to take medicines, etc. So one of his well-wishers, one Mataji, she was so inspired by Gopi Parandan Prabhu. So she had got some very expensive medicines, herbal medicines from Himalayas. So we, Gopi Parandan Prabhu and I, on our way back to Govardhan, we went to this Mataji's house. And she went inside to get the medicines. So meanwhile, the husband was there. The husband didn't know anything about Gopi Parandan Prabhu. He was not a devotee. So he asked, can you introduce yourselves? So I was about to speak. I was about to introduce Gopi Parandan Prabhu. Immediately he spoke. He said, here is Gaurari Prabhu. He has done his PhD. He's going to Bombay. He's going to become a professor at IIT and he's going to preach there. And then the Prabhuji asked, what about you? And immediately, he didn't let me speak. He said, I did my graduation, but no one was willing to give me a job. So I went to this Hare Krishna temple and they found that I was of some use. That's it. And he went on answering questions. Extremely humble, extremely down to earth. As Kunti Maharani says, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribir Ena Mara Madhapuman. So, Naiva Arhati Abhidatum Vai Tuam Akinchana Gocharam. So, even though he was so qualified, such a scholar, still, that's not what he counted. One of another Prabhupada disciples, His Grace Mukundath Prabhu, is a very close friend of Gopi Parandan Prabhu. Again, we are very fortunate to have his association for a couple of days. And Mukundath Prabhu was saying that Gopi Parandan Prabhu is actually a drop-in. As Nityanand Prabhu was saying, he's quoting Jananivas Prabhu, some devotees are born saints. So Mukundath Prabhu was explaining that he's just a drop-in from the abode of the Lord. Very difficult to understand. Very often we would just tell Gopi Parandan Prabhu, we are so fortunate that we are able to serve you. Actually, when we would serve him prasadam, with every spoonful of prasadam, he would say, thank you very much. And his expression was so genuine, so deep. And very often we would say, we are so grateful that we are able to serve you. We are so fortunate that we are able to serve you. And Gopi Parandan Prabhu would just, as a matter of fact, he would say, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. He said this so many times. Once, one of my good friends, he was traveling with Gopi Parandan Prabhu and they were inspecting a piece of land in Govardhan. So Gopi Parandan Prabhu was considering from the Vastu Shastra point of view whether this is the right place. So this devotee asked Gopi Parandan Prabhu, Prabhuji, Bhagavad Gita says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Just take full shelter of Krishna. Krishna will protect. So why do we need to go by Vastu Shastra? Gopi Parandan Prabhu said, yes, there is no need to go by Vastu Shastra. But for someone who has not fully surrendered to Krishna, it's okay to look at Vastu Shastra. And then he said that even if someone is not fully surrendered to Krishna, yet he may look at Vastu Shastra because he may want to save Prabhupada's money while exploring different pieces of land. So that's how humble he was. I mean, he didn't try and refute this devotee's statement and establish that he actually has full faith in Krishna. Just explain it from different perspectives. There were several occasions where I would go to him with questions. Sometimes I asked if a particular devotee could join the Bhagavatam Vidyapeet. And Prabhuji was extremely clear, sometimes very cutting. This devotee had used to read a lot of Mayavad books and he was very clear. He said, no, he cannot be admitted. But there were occasions when I took the same devotee to Gopi Parandan Prabhu's house in Govardhan. And Gopi Parandan Prabhu and his wife, they received this devotee with so much affection. We were feeling very embarrassed because his health was not very good. And Gopi Parandan Prabhu's wife is serving all of us, taking such nice care. So on one hand, extremely clear, no compromise at all. But he had the heart of a Bengali mother, extremely caring and loving. Our visit to his house in Govardhan was one of the most moving experiences in my life. The way the cows would just move around into any room. All the animals would be occupying different rooms in his house. There was no discrimination at all. I remember I came back, and the next time Gopi Parandan Prabhu was giving a class, I called all my colleagues from my office. I was at IBM Research, and most of the colleagues are like PhDs, done PhD in good universities in the US. So I would invite them. And one of these guys, he attended Gopi Parandan Prabhu's class. He was happy. And then I explained to him that Gopi Parandan Prabhu stays in a small hut in Govardhan. He has calves and cows at home. And he was so impressed. The next day, he went around the entire office talking about the gentleman who came to whose class he attended at our house. So that's how effective. But nobody knew. Nobody would understand. He would not boast about himself. So, feeling extremely fortunate that we had the chance to associate with Gopi Parandan Prabhu. Once I came back to Bombay, I was very eager to serve him and somehow help revitalize his health and get him free from asthma. So, there was this doctor in Jaipur whom I find to be very effective. Or Anandan Prabhu actually referred me to him. He did this acupuncture treatment to heal asthma. So, Gopi Parandan Prabhu was happy, he accepted this. And I remember that in Jaipur, he was very often telling this doctor that I was only this far from death. I was this close to death. I didn't realize that what he meant could actually happen. Very severe asthma problem. But one of these occasions in Jaipur, I remember he was having so much difficulty breathing, but the hosts were very eager that Gopi Parandan Prabhu gives a class. So he somehow managed to give classes. So I've seen all the instances when he would give class, he would be panting, gasping for breath, but he would still manage to give a class. On one occasion when we were traveling in Jaipur, somehow his dhoti got stuck to the end of an auto rickshaw, and when he attempted to stand up, the dhoti got torn. Major part of the dhoti got torn. The entire day he was just traveling with the dhoti. We were trying to suggest. He said, "No, that's okay. I'm fine." But towards the evening, we went out and bought a new dhoti for him. The host got a new dhoti for him. And when Gopi Parandan Prabhu was given this, he was saying, "Thank you very much." But the next question he asked is it okay if I give this, return it back to you when you come to Govardhan or during my next trip? Everybody felt so touched. "No, you don't need to give it back, Prabhuji." He said, "Thank you very much." Extremely humble. During one of that our conversations, he was sharing the challenges he's facing in preaching in China. So he had learned Chinese. He was trying to learn Chinese. And one of the challenges he was facing was keeping the devotees engaged. Because the devotees had their jobs and the chanting and all kirtans were done in secrecy. So they were having a lot of difficulty, somehow maintaining Krishna consciousness while at work. So Gopi Parandan Prabhu had identified, based on his readings of the scriptures, how the Varnashram could be implemented in a city setting. So he was sharing that in a city setting, if you try to identify Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas and Shudras, the Shudras might feel offended. So he said, on a practical basis, they had identified that any company in a sitting setting run by devotees will require Brahmanas who give the spiritual vision, will require Kshatriyas who basically do the administration, will require Vaishyas who make sure that the business runs in profits. And the fourth is the women. The women should also be engaged in such a business, and they should actually take care of the emotional needs of the other four classes. That's how a company can be run in a city setting. And then we went into great lengths discussing about Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And he was sharing his views that he thought Bhaktivedanta Hospital was an ideal example of this kind of Varnashram setup in a city. So this was one of my last interactions with him. And we subsequently actually requested him to share all these thoughts to a group of devotees who are working on traditional technologies under the guidance of Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. So again, my great fortune, I pray at the lotus feet of Gopi Parandan Prabhu that he may forgive me for all the countless offenses we might have committed at his lotus feet, and also pray that can imbibe a small fraction of his humility. His grace Gopi Parandan Prabhu ki jai.
Vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhye bachat patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
As mentioned, Gopi Pranadana Prabhu was a self-taught scholar. He told me he learned the Sanskrit alphabet in an afternoon. And I'll be very short. A special quality was his loyalty. He was very easy to work with. I was his editor, one of his editors for Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And he was very agreeable. You want to do it this way, you want to do it that way, change this, move that. But he was very, he said that his role was to stand up for the acharyas. So if it was something with his writing, do it this way, do it that way. But his only concern was to see that it was faithful to what the acharya had given. In this case, Sanatana Goswami. That my words, move them this way, move them that way. But does it represent what Sanatana Goswami wanted? That what he's saying? That was his concern. He was very loyal to the BBT. Throughout his career, he was just interested in serving Prabhupada's BBT. And he was very loyal to Srila Prabhupada. One time Srila Prabhupada said, because there was a reason that the devotees were discouraged from reading Sanskrit, from learning Sanskrit. Prabhupada said, as soon as he knows a little Sanskrit, he thinks he knows more than Guru Maharaj. We lost several people that way. They learn Sanskrit and then they know everything. But Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, we used to call him Gopi. Gopi was very humble and very devoted to Srila Prabhupada and appreciative of Srila Prabhupada. He never became puffed up or proud, or he just remained the humble servant of his spiritual master, which is the ideal qualification. His books are there. If you read, especially Brihad Bhagavatamrita, what a wonderful presentation it is, and how skillfully he's taken Sanatana Goswami's writing and presented it in English. Because commentary writing in Sanskrit is very, it has its own style, it's very terse and it's very dense. But Gopi Pranadana Prabhu unpacked it and presented it in such a nice way that it's accessible and relishable. So read his books and appreciate what he's given to us, and his example is there. We've heard a little bit about his character, his nature, and he's left a great vacancy now. There's so much that he was capable of doing, and so much that was on his desk, as it were. So it's now a challenge for us how to carry on, how the school will go on, how the books will go on. So many things that he was personally carrying. So great contributions. And we have to try to serve his desires, his projects, his what he wanted to do. Okay, I'll stop. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Gopi Pranadana Prabhu Ki Jai.